We welcome back to the program Brian McLaughlin of Hero Sports to talk some FCS football. Hey, Brian.
Hey, Rich. Good to be on. Thanks for having me.
You better believe it. And well, let's start with, I guess, the not breaking news, but the most recent news, and that's the release by the FCS Playoff Selection Committee of their top 10. And not too many surprises, at least in the first eight, but I think a few people were scratching their heads to see New Hampshire in there at number 10.
Yeah, in general, it's pretty well done, I think. We didn't have any massive surprises, like maybe a Kennesaw being left in there or something like that. So they did a good job with it. And, you know, by the time you get to that number 10 spot with New Hampshire, man, you could make a case for so many schools at this point. You can kind of see where there might be some confusion there. I don't know that I agree that New Hampshire should be in the top 10 at this point. But at the same time, they play at James Madison this weekend, and that'll probably change that in the view of people anyway. So, obviously, if they win that game, it'll change it a lot for the positive, but I don't think they're going to win it, and that'll knock them out of consideration. But overall, I can tell you this, Rich, the first six are rock solid. I mean, they nailed it. I think it's pretty clear that those are the best six. And they had Central Arkansas at seven, which ultimately may end up being legit, but they still need to win three games to get to that point. I think they're a little high in this one. I think Montana being in the top eight totally makes sense at this point, but Montana still has Weber State and Montana State in the Brawl of the Wild left, so they'll get tested. And then Furman at nine, I agree with that. They still have to play Wofford, you know. So there's a lot of big games left in this last 3 weeks, but I thought it was a pretty good, solid job last night.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's go back and revisit a couple of the big games from last weekend. You mentioned Weber State, a more than impressive effort against what had been one of the hottest teams in FCS football in Sacramento State.
Yeah, and you can't talk about that game without bringing up the injury to the quarterback at Sacramento State. Kevin Thompson's a big part of what they've been doing, but, you know, Sac State also has played very good defense. So I don't think they'll fall apart, and we don't know exactly how bad the situation with Kevin is yet. You know, are we talking about, you know, is this going to ruin everything going forward, whatever? But they still have a pretty winnable path, even if they were having to win on defense and, you know, and running the ball. That's Sacramento State-wise. Weber State jumped all over that opportunity. I mean, that was a big, big win for them. And they continue, man, first of all, they have the second-best strength of schedule in the FCS behind Sacramento State, who has number one, and number three is Northern Iowa. Weber State has beaten Northern Iowa and Sacramento State. They've beaten two of the top three schedules in the FCS. They're undefeated in the FCS. They nearly beat San Diego State, who is 7-1 in the FCS. And they held San Diego State to 6 points, two field goals. Nobody else on the entire schedule of San Diego State has done that. Not even UCLA did that. So Weber State is playing some darn good defense. They're opportunistic in the pass game. They've got a great running back with Josh Davis. And I'll tell you, Rich, the big debate, I think, if James Madison and Weber State keep winning like they have been, we may get to the playoff committee time, and there may be a debate for that number two spot to potentially host in the national semifinals. And I had a chance to talk to their head coach this week for the FCS Coaches Corner. He remembers Maine very well. he talked a little bit about that game on our podcast. But, man, Weber State's looking good. You are so spot on.
Well, and I will say this, too, and I say this as a guy who knows CAA football pretty well, but if Weber State can run the table, I think – based on what I've seen this year, the competition may be a little tougher in the Big Sky than it is in the CAA.
It might be. You know, we haven't seen what we thought we would see from UC Davis and Eastern Washington, but you can always flip that argument and say, well, that's because the conference is good. I mean, You know, I mean, we could make that same statement about the CAA, which is they're chopping each other up. But, you know, I use this kind of an analogy on our podcast this week. Are they beating, you know, on a scale of 1 to 10, James Madison to 10, are a bunch of 7 and 8 beating each other up in the CAA, or are they a bunch of 4 and 5?
Mm.
And I think they're a bunch of 7 and 8, to be honest with you. I think home field advantage has become a massive thing in the CAA. It almost seems like every team has had a win they could be really proud of. You know, like a playoff-caliber team-type win. And then they've all had a head-scratcher or two, you know, and that's what we're seeing. Ultimately, what that's going to lead to is, I mean, you might get just 3 teams from the CAA making the playoffs. That would kind of be a travesty, I think. We also might get 7-win CAA team get serious consideration and maybe get in and be that fourth team.
Well, we'll come back to that. We'll come back to that a little bit later, because I do want to ask you about a couple of teams in particular. The other game from last week, it's funny. One of the great things I think about FCS football is that eventually everybody gets exposed, and you're going to find somebody who will prove to the country exactly how good or how not great you are. And we saw that last week with Monmouth taking care of business against Kennesaw State.
Yeah, we did. And Monmouth, you know, and it was sad to see that in both polls, Kennesaw was still ranked ahead of them, which just drives you nuts when you think about it. It shouldn't even be close based on the results, because if you put them side by side, obviously the first tiebreaker is their head-to-head result, which Monmouth was pretty much winning that game by 30 points until garbage time. I mean, it wasn't even close, and it was in Greater Atlanta. It was at Kennesaw. Number two, if you just look at the resume, aside from the head-to-head result, the resumes aren't even close. Monmouth has beaten a good Albany team. They were in the fourth quarter with Montana in Missoula. It was a 6-point game late in the fourth. They've played a MAC school, and I think they played Western Michigan this year. So they've scheduled a little tougher than Kennesaw. Kennesaw played 2 lower division schools, non-D1s, to get 2 of their wins. And so it's not even close. And Monmouth, I thought, looked like the team that should win on paper, and they didn't just win. They won big.
We're talking with Brian McLaughlin of Hero Sports here on Downtown. Well, let's look at some of the big games from this week, and this is one of the biggest, South Dakota State taking on Illinois State.
Yeah, and this might be the beginning of the end for Illinois State too, because they're getting to the point where they've got to win out. And this one's a tall order, I think, for Illinois State. Now, on the flip side, South Dakota State's going to be playing without its quarterback. You know, Gibbs was hurt against North Dakota State, and that obviously changed that game greatly. They probably would have beaten North Dakota State with their starter in at quarterback the whole game. So. But in general, I think South Dakota State looks like the team to beat here. And then Illinois State, probably their playoff hopes come down to a trip to Youngstown. That's a tough place to go win. So, yeah, it's a big one for Illinois State. Big, big.
Neither of these teams will go to the postseason, but boy, a big battle in the Ivy League with a pair of unbeatens. Our old friend Buddy Tevens, Dartmouth 7-0, play an unbelievable defense against 7-0 Princeton.
Good old Buddy Stevens. I knew him when he was an assistant at Florida when I was a student, and he coached his daughter in high school soccer. So, yeah, Coach Stevens has done a great job, you know, at Dartmouth. And they're both 7-0. Princeton has now won 17 in a row. Dartmouth's only lost in the last 2 seasons was to Princeton, and it was a good game last year to settle the Ivy League. Now we're looking at a game that's going to settle the Ivy League again, and they're going to play it in Yankee Stadium. You got to love it. So big game, lots of interest, should be a big crowd. And, of course, we can all continue to be curious about what these two teams would do if they were in the playoffs. And I think they could do a lot, personally, just like I think they would have last year, too.
I think this one's very interesting in the CAA. Villanova's dropped 3 in a row. They're hosting a surprisingly strong Richmond team.
Yeah, and it's so big for both these schools, because Villanova still has you know, mathematically, a pretty realistic chance of getting to 9 wins if they win this game. Now, Nova should win the LIU game, and they should win at home against Delaware to close the year. So in a lot of ways, Villanova's not in a must-win situation. But if they want to possibly be in the discussion for maybe the 8 seed, they do need to win this. But an 8-win Villanova team getting into the playoffs. Richmond, on the other hand, this is kind of a must-win for them. I mean, they have the potential on their schedule to win 7. I don't think they go to JMU next week and win, but I think Richmond might have a chance to be looked at 7 wins. They might be that team that could be, you know, in the discussion, be on the bubble if the rest of the country chops itself up. So it's big for Richmond because this is a potential win for them. It's not a guarantee, but it's a potential win for them. And then for Villanova, it's a potential, you know, to be looked at possibly as a seed if the top 8 teams of today get chopped up, which they could. So, you know, a bunch of those teams, by the way, in the top 8, they have to play each other.
So do you think
– year, so, you know.
Do you think a Villanova team, because if they're 8-4, that means they're only 4-4 in the CAA. You think they'd still get in?
I do. I think an 8-win team in the CAA, Missouri Valley and Big Sky are in. It really, really looks that way because, like, when you look at everybody, that's going to be the cutoff point, just like a lot of times. A 7-4 team in the 11 game seasons we have is kind of the cutoff spot a lot of times. Now, we've seen some exceptions. You know, we saw Delaware not go at 7-4 a couple years ago, Albany a couple years ago, Indiana State last year didn't go at 7-4, but usually that 7-8 win mark is kind of a guaranteed cutoff of the what I call the Power 3 conference.
Well, so let's talk about Maine before we wrap it up. The Blackbears have got a tough one at Elon this week, but if they can run the table, they finish 7-5. They'd be riding a 5-game win streak, and they would be 5-3 in the CAA, which would put them probably no worse than tied for 3rd in the conference. Does Maine get in that scenario?
You know, that is an interesting point because they do care about hot finishes. A team coming in that hasn't lost in a month and a half, you know, in the CAA that has a winning record, you know, in the league, that could turn some heads. And then you would throw out the Georgia Southern loss because that's not going to count. And that wasn't even up that bad a result. They only lost by 8.
Well, no, they lost 2 FBS games by 15 points or less.
Yeah, that's true. Liberty, too. Yeah, that's absolutely right. So, actually, yes, I forgot about the Liberty game, and you would throw that out, and they would be 7-3. That's a very valid point, and I do think that this slate they have ahead of them is doable. I think that game at New Hampshire at the end is obviously it's a rivalry game, so you never know what could happen. Yes, Maine could very well recover and be in the discussion because they played a pretty darn tough schedule. You know that, and their losses. I mean, let's face it, in the league are to good, you know, upper crust CAA teams, you know, and they haven't even been that horrible a loss. So that's a very valid question there, Rich.
Well, we'll see what happens this week. I think certainly in the CAA, this may well be separation Saturday because so many teams with 2-3 losses can't sustain anymore. So we'll see what happens. We'll have a much clearer picture, I expect, when we talk to you next Thursday, Brian.
Yeah, clear as mud.
Hey, thanks. Yeah. Yeah. Enjoy it this weekend, Brian. We'll see you next week.
Okay, Rich. I love the headaches that I get on the weekend. Great.
You and me both. Thanks a lot. Brian McLaughlin, Hero Sports, every Thursday with us on Downtown. It's